Hello and welcome to another episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. My name is Clay Pope. I'm with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub at El Reno, Oklahoma. And this podcast is a joint venture of the Climate Hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, also located in El Reno, Oklahoma. We thank you for taking the time out of your day for joining us. And with us today as a guest on the podcast, we have Danelle Peck. Danelle is with the Northern Plains Climate Hub. Am I saying that right, Danelle?
You sure are.
And she's here to visit with us a little bit about the work of our sister hub up in the Northern Plains, talk a little bit about some of the projects they have going on, and maybe delve deeper into a tool that they have available for producers in the western parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas that we think might be interested. But before we get into that, Danelle, I'm just going to turn it over to you. If you'd tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to our guests, and talk a little bit about your position there at the hub.
Great. Thanks, Clay. So again, my name is Danelle Peck, and I'm the director of the Northern Plains Climate Hub. We're based out of Fort Collins, Colorado, and I live on up in Laramie, Wyoming. And I joined the Climate Hubs about 3 years ago and came from originally from the University of Wyoming. And so I'm trained as an ag economist, and so I had to learn to speak another language, come over and learn the language of climate. But I already knew agriculture pretty well at that point because I grew up on a dairy farm back east in upstate New York, and then moved on out to Wyoming for college and haven't looked back since. So I work a lot in cow-calf operations, of course. Those are, you know, kind of the primary type of operation there in Wyoming and the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains region. But try to learn a little bit on the side about, you know, growing crops and all the challenges there. So that's a little bit about my background. And I'd love to share kind of what the Climate Hub has been working on lately.
Well, why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about the role of the hub there in the Northern Plains, some of the things that you've been working on, and just kind of update our listeners on the work that you are doing out of your headquarters there.
Yeah, so up in the Northern Plains, you know, we're always constantly bouncing back and forth between drought conditions, and then, of course, this year, 2019, we had record flooding in a lot of the Northern Plains region over in the Dakotas and Nebraska. And so farmers and ranchers in our region are always trying to cope with, you know, extremes on both ends of the spectrum, from drought to flood to, you know, gosh, it's October right now. And we have temperatures out there the last couple of days that feel more like January or February. And so our ranchers are trying to deal with bitter cold temperatures and early season snow and, you know, trying to wean calves and get calves marketed. So we've got a lot of weather and climate related challenges here in the Northern Plains that the hubs are trying to help provide any kind of information or tools related to that weather that can help our farmers and ranchers.
Well, if I could interject too, you're talking about the cold earlier in the week when you and I had visited some about setting up this interview. You were telling me that it had been 14 degrees below zero on the morning that I called. Isn't that right?
It is. It was, again, I mean, in Wyoming, we're accustomed to below zero weather, but maybe not so early in October. I remember last year it happened in kind of mid-November, and that was surprising enough. But for it to happen in October, we set a lot of different low temperature records across not just Wyoming. You know, Montana got the same system, and parts of the Dakotas got this system. So again, our ranchers, hopefully they had access to a forecast several days ahead of time so that they knew the cold was coming and kind of could get some cows moved, you know, closer to home, get the hay positioned, because they're going to have to supplement some of those cows in such bitter cold temperatures and get some bedding out for any of the calves that are still on the young side. So it was brutal. And I guess the other big impact that it's had in the Northern Plains region is on our crop farmers. Of course, on the Northern Plains, it was, record-setting wet in the spring, and so planting got delayed by several weeks. And then in the fall, we got, again, early cold and snow and wet, so they've had a heck of a time trying to get those crops to maturity. And for the crops that have reached maturity, trying to actually get them harvested out of the field, it's been a beastly year for our poor farmers and ranchers.
Well, you know, and that's what talking about some of the challenges that you're seeing up there. You guys have been working on some tools to try to help producers, especially ranchers, deal with some of the uncertainty as far as forage conditions, as far as some of the challenges that we're seeing with the more extreme weather swings, aren't you?
Yeah. So our climate hub has been. We've been trying to figure out, what information and what tools can be helpful for our farmers and ranchers so that they can anticipate extreme conditions a little bit farther in advance. And, if something's coming in down the road at you, you've got time to adjust and react. Farmers and ranchers are really innovative and creative. They usually have a solution if they know something is coming their way. And so we've tried to create some products that give them more advanced notice that something weird weather-wise is coming their way. Over on the crop side, I'll mention briefly as an example, one of our collaborators over in Nebraska has developed an app called AgriTools. And so this app, you can pull it up on your smartphone and it connects you much more immediately with current weather conditions in your area, but also, longer term outlooks. Maybe it's the 8 to 14 day weather outlook that you're interested in, or maybe it's the 1 month outlook. So it connects you to that based on your location. But then what I love about it is that it also, you can indicate kind of, what conditions are you struggling with? Are you struggling because it's wet or dry? And what are you trying to grow or what are you trying to raise? And you click a couple of little buttons on the AgriTools app and it'll automatically take you to a whole bunch of extension resources that kind of help you figure out what am I going to do about the situation. So that's over on the cropping side, the AgriTools app. Again, currently just for Nebraska, but I think a really cool idea that our hubs would love to expand to other states if there was, a demand for that. Over on the ranching side, a tool that we're most excited about is called GrassCast. And GrassCast, real snappy, real catchy title. Came up with that as I was driving across the rangelands of South Dakota for several hours by myself. But GrassCast stands for the Grassland Productivity Forecast. And so what GrassCast is doing, so imagine it's late April and you're a cattle operator and you're looking out the window, speculating, wondering how much grass might grow out on your rangelands this growing season, because you've got to make some decisions, right? You've got to decide maybe how many cows you might call in the spring before you send them out to pasture, or maybe you've got some short yearlings that you've got to decide whether you're going to actually keep them and graze them another summer or market them. And so GrassCast, in late April, early May, it's going to try and give you some indication of how many pounds per acre we think is going to grow out there on your rangelands. And so we're trying to look out to the end of the growing season whenever you get your peak, kind of that peak amount of grass standing out there in your rangelands. That's what we're trying to forecast ahead of time, a couple of months ahead of time. Of course, we know that's tricky, right? We know that it's almost impossible to guess what the growing season is going to look like 2 or 3 months ahead of time. Our region, the Great Plains, is notorious for being difficult to forecast. When we took GrassCast out to our ranchers, at first, we handed them a single map and said, this is what we think, how many pounds per acre are going to grow out there in your area compared to what you get on average. And they looked at us and they kind of giggled and said, I'm not going to trust this map. Are you kidding me? Are you really going to ask me to trust the single map, knowing how bad society is at forecasting that far ahead of time? And so they suggested instead that we give them three maps. And so when you see the GrassCast product online, you'll see three maps side by side. And what those three maps are trying to tell you is, depending on what happens over the growing season, depending on whether precip for the rest of the growing season ends up being above average, or if it ends up being near average, or worst comes to worst, it ends up being below average. So in these three different situations, then how many pounds per acre of grass would we expect to grow out there on your rangelands? So again, you know, it's late April, early May. You go to the GrassCast website and you see your three maps and you zoom in to your local area. You can zoom into a 6 mile by 6 mile area so you can get pretty close to your ranch. And you'll see three different colors for your area. And the colors are telling you how many pounds per acre we expect to grow there, depending on how the growing season unfolds, whether we end up with above average precip, near normal, or below normal. This past year, right, the summer of 2019, Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas were all fairly wet, if I remember that correctly, Clay. Am I right remembering it was a fairly wet year for you guys down there?
Well, I was getting ready to say, like it always is in the southern plains, it's spotty. It depends on when the rain comes. We, it's one of the things we were talking with a producer the other day about cover crops, and the when we got done with harvest, the rain seemed to shut off, and then we've had some moisture come back in, but it just depends on the time and how it's coming and whether it's coming in bunches or coming slow.
I see. Interesting. So if we went to the GrassCast website right now, and you can just search it, pick your favorite search engine and type in GrassCast. If it doesn't pop up right away, you can search GrassCast Colorado State University, because that's where the main scientists are located who helped us with this tool. But you can Google it, and if we went back and looked at the GrassCast maps for the 2019 grazing season, again, you'd hone in on a location you were interested in, and it would show you three colors. And if I'm remembering correctly, for a lot of western Kansas, western Oklahoma, northern Texas, for a lot of locations, it was fairly wet early on. So when I looked at those maps for a location, let's say in western Kansas, there were lots of beautiful blues and turquoise colors across all three maps. And what that was telling us was that, gosh, already by mid to late April, you guys have already gotten enough precipitation that even if the spigot turned off at this point, even if the spigot mostly turned off and for the rest of the growing season it was below average precip, it was still showing nice turquoise colors and maybe some green, indicating that we would still expect those areas to end up with above average or near average amounts of grass out there on the rangelands. But then if you moved to a different part of the Great Plains region, let's say southeast Colorado, that doesn't seem like it's very far from West Kansas, but the conditions are really different there. In the southeast Colorado map early on, when we honed in on a specific location, the colors, the three colors that GrassCast showed ranged anywhere from kind of a turquoise, you know, that, okay, if precipitation ends up being above average this season, we expect you to have slightly above average amounts of grass. If the precip is just near normal, well, then the color was yellow, indicating even with near normal precip, we expect your area to have below average, maybe 5 to 15% less pounds per acre than normal. And boy, if that spigot turns off, this area is in trouble. And it was bright red, indicating that they might have 30% less pounds per acre than normal or worse. And so what's nice about GrassCast, it kind of gives you an early warning signal. If you're seeing the possibility of red for your area on one of our maps, it's telling you to start thinking about what you would do in that what if scenario. What if the worst happened? How bad might it get? And how well would my management plan hold up in that scenario? And then, of course, there's two other scenarios that you can explore, not just the worst case, but also the kind of best case. And then, what if we just get near normal? What does that scenario look like? Now, so that's what I like about GrassCast, is that it helps you play out some scenarios in your mind, and it kind of helps narrow the range of possibilities, the range of scenarios that you should be, as a as a cattle operator be thinking about.
Now, looking at those scenarios, let's dig a little deeper. What's the data that you use that goes into the program that helps those scenarios come out? What's the inputs mm-hmm. that are used to get that information then that the producer would have access to?
Yeah, we don't want it to be a black box, do we? Nobody trusts the black box, rightfully so. So GrassCast, it's essentially, it ties together four different pieces of information. The first piece of information is the weather. So on a day-to-day basis, how much precipitation have you gotten? And we track that daily weather for as long as the historical record will let us. You know, for some of our locations, we have 80 or 100 years of daily weather information. And so for each, you know, every spot on that map, or at least every spot in a 6-mile by 6-mile area, we've got some long-term data sets about the weather. And so we take that daily weather information, again, the precip and the min and max temperatures, and we feed that into this model called DayScent. And it's just an ecological model. It kind of models how rainfall is moving through the soil and how much of it stays in the soil, how much of it evaporates off of the soil surface, how much of it goes and gets taken up by the plant. And so that ecological model, it pulls in all of this weather information for your location, and out of that model pops how much water are your rangeland grasses going to transpire. And what we know is that plants that are moving a lot of water through their tissue are growing more actively. They're more vigorous. They're healthier than a plant that's not transpiring very much at all. So that model tells us how much water is moving through plants in your area, and therefore how kind of, you know, vigorously they're growing. And then that's connected to the third piece of information, which is the NDVI. And don't make me try and remember what NDVI stands for. It's the normalized difference vegetation index, which is not at all helpful. But essentially, the NDVI is a measure of that greenness. It's a satellite measure of, again, how vigorously is that plant growing. Bright green means that it's doing really well. It's you know, probably growing above average. Brown means that plant is not growing very well, that there's probably a drought situation there. So that was that third piece of information, the NDVI, kind of how vigorously are things are growing out there. And then we tie that to the thing that ranchers actually care about, and that's, again, how much forage is growing out there on the ground, how many pounds per acre are actually going to be out there during the growing season in total. So four pieces of information: the weather, both kind of historical right up to the day that the map is made, what does that weather mean about how much water is moving through our rangeland plants, and therefore how vigorously they're growing. That shows up in the NDVI signal, how green things are growing. And then that connects to the thing we actually care about, which is how many pounds per acre we might end up with over the course of the growing season. So hopefully it's not a black box anymore.
So what areas does GrassCast currently cover? I know it doesn't cover the entire lower 48 states. What's the geographic boundaries right now that you have information for?
Yeah, so GrassCast came out the first time in 2017 and 2018, and that was just for the Northern Plains states. But then we were able, this past summer, so 2019, we were able to expand that down into the Southern Plains, so into your territory. But it really is that Great Plains grassland region. Those four steps I just described as a geeky scientist, those four steps work the best in a true grasslands/rangeland context. And so the current footprint of GrassCast is the Great Plains. Again, thinking about when you look out your window at the landscape, are you mostly seeing grasses? Right now, our scientists on the team are trying to figure out how to expand the GrassCast to the Southwest. So currently they're working on some data sets from western New Mexico and all of Arizona. Now that ecosystem's pretty different. You don't look out the window and see mostly grasses anymore. You see a bit of shrubs and trees coming in. And that makes that makes it harder. Our four-step process doesn't work as smoothly there yet. But we're hopeful. We're hopeful by next spring of 2020, GrassCast might cover not just the Great Plains, but also all of New Mexico and Arizona. Yeah, someday we hope to be able to expand it to the whole western U.S., but as we all know, each location is unique in some way and makes the science not directly transferable. You got to do a little bit of work to tweak the science to get it to fit. But at the very least, next spring, your listeners can find GrassCast for, again, western Kansas, western Oklahoma, northern Texas for sure, and hopefully over into all of New Mexico and Arizona as well.
Well, so if I'm a producer and I am interested in trying to check out GrassCast, is it something that's readily available on the internet? Is it something I can access fairly easy, or is it still kind of in the test stages right now?
Nope, we have a pretty well-developed GrassCast website. So again, I could read off the whole hyperlink label, but that's too much for if you're in the tractor cab right now. I don't want you to stop and try and write down a big website address. So again, if you just search, use your favorite search engine and search for GrassCast, it should come right up. So we've got a really nice website, and on that website you can find all kinds of materials of all sorts of different types to help you learn what is GrassCast. There's a really nice short, about a 3-minute introductory video that kind of just says in words, what is GrassCast again? And then there's three brand new tutorial videos that will explain to you how to interpret the GrassCast map, and then also how to use the zoomable feature. So we've got, when you go to the website, there's, you can either look at just a picture of GrassCast, just a static image, or you can click on the zoomable maps tab and actually type in like your zip code or a highway that you live near, or you can use the zoom buttons to zoom in and out. And so we have a tutorial that teaches you how to use that zoomable maps feature. If you prefer to read, we've got a whole bunch of wonderful ag newspaper articles that have been written in the past about GrassCast. So it just depends on your how you like to learn. And I appreciate the opportunity, Clay, to give folks a chance to learn by listening. That's awesome.
Well, we appreciate the chance for you taking the time to visit with us a little bit about GrassCast. Before we are starting to get down to the end of the program, however, and I was just kind of wondering, is there anything else as far as future information or future projects or future challenges that you see in front of the work of the hub there in the Northern Plains that you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
Well, I would, what I'll say is that we're constantly improving GrassCast. And so I forgot to mention to folks that if you go and take a look at GrassCast in late April or early May, don't just look at it once. We update it every 2 weeks. So as we move through the growing season, we learn more. We learn more about the weather, what the weather actually did versus what maybe we had forecasted it was going to do. So be sure to go and visit GrassCast when it gets updated every 2 weeks. If you're on Twitter, we'll post tweets indicating that a new map has been posted. We would love in the future, again, to create an app because, again, we know our ranch friends are out in their trucks and tractors on horseback a lot and aren't sitting at a computer very often, that they'd be much better off being able to look at it on an app on their phone. And so that's something we'd like to try and develop in the future, a simple app where you just indicate, again, either your zip code or the phone indicates where they're located, and it would immediately pop up with your three colors. For your location, here are the three colors of the GrassCast map and what they mean. So that's something down the road we're hoping to do. GrassCast is one of our major emphases up here in the Northern Plains, and we're excited that it can help serve ranchers in other hub regions as well.
Well, thank you very much, Nell. We thank you for taking your time out of your day to visit with us about GrassCast, about the work of the Northern Plains. And again, we thank you for your good work and for visiting with our listeners here on the podcast.
Thank you, Clay. And here's hoping for a really great start to the next year's growing season.
Absolutely.
Good luck with the winter out there to all your listeners.
Well, absolutely. Well, hopefully we don't get anywhere near as cold as you did, but definitely as we move into the winter months, we appreciate the information that's available from all the hubs, and we appreciate the work that you do. And we also appreciate all of you taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. Again, this has been an episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. I'm Clay Pope. I'm with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub at El Reno, Oklahoma. And this podcast is a joint venture of the hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, also located in El Reno. Thank you for taking your time to listen to the program, and have a great day.